Vanetics with Gabriel of Urantia and Neon Emerson Chase, an ongoing series of lectures and teachings on spiritual leadership, personal change, and the principles of divine administration. Part of the curriculum of the University of Ascension Science and the Physics of Rebellion. More information can be found at uaspr.org. This episode is titled Changing the World from the Inside Out and Not from the Outside In. Here is Neon Emerson Chase.
I'd like all of you right now to think of a decision that you've recently made that you think was from your higher self. What were some of the consequences of that decision? Now, I want you to think of a decision that you think you've made from your lower self. What were some of the consequences of that decision? Notice that I say some consequences, because we don't know all of the ramifications of every decision that we make. Some of them are very short term and we're very aware of them. Some of them are longer term and we're not aware at all. And even some of the short term we may not be aware of. But there are many, many ramifications from every decision that we make. Now, many people find this exercise difficult because the dominant culture of Western civilization, which frankly rules the world, does not encourage us to assess our decisions and the motives behind them. We usually are not encouraged to look closely at the consequences of our decisions, how they impact us personally, but also how they impact others. We're not really taught to take responsibility for our own growth, for our own happiness, for our own health, for our own well-being, let alone taking responsibility for our mistakes, our wrong choices that contribute to the suffering of ourselves as well as of others. We're not usually taught that we have lower selfish tendencies as well as a spark of the divine in us that can lead us to tremendous acts of selfless courage and sacrifice, acts of truth, beauty, and goodness. That is, we're not taught these things within everyday mainstream society. Opportunities to discover this are within the dominant culture, though. But unless we were blessed with parents or teachers or friends who brought some of this into our consciousness, we usually just go our merry way, pursuing pleasure and security regardless of our choices and how our choices may impact others. Most of our suffering, whether it's mental suffering, emotional suffering, or physical suffering, usually about 90% of it is caused by ourselves. We're our own worst enemy. But we're used to blaming others. Now, of course, there's laws of the land that keep the most brutal of our inner beasts at bay. But we still can, and all too often do, make decisions from our beastly lower selves. A sentiment that is expressed often is, and you've all heard it, you can't change the world until you change yourself. It's a wonderful sentiment. It's a wonderful truth. But talk is cheap. Any of us can go around flapping our lips, saying what is cool and in fashion for the moment, using the buzzwords. But to actually change ourselves at the level we need in order to truly help change the world, takes a lot of guts and a lot of gumption. I think of the difference between a talker and a practitioner. A talker can talk the talk, man. We all can be really good talkers. But a practitioner can talk the talk, maybe not as well as just a talker. More importantly, the practitioner can practice the talk. You have to really begin to look deeply at yourself, at your choices of the past and of the present. You have to begin to take responsibility for who you have been, who you are at this moment in time and space, and more importantly, who you want to become, who you really want to become. All of us have made mistakes. All of us have done some pretty terrible things. But how many of us have acknowledged these errors and sins to ourselves and to others? How many of us have actually tried to correct our wrongdoing, to change our ways, to reconcile with those we have hurt, to reconcile with our own selves and our sense of shame and guilt? How can we change our ways if we don't think we need to, because we don't recognize our own beastliness? We who study the epical revelation found in the Urantia book, the Cosmic Family volumes, and other writings know of the seven psychic circles or cosmic circles that all mortals are destined to progress through. We in divine administration are committed to helping the world become a better place by becoming better individuals ourselves. We value attaining the higher psychic circles of ascension, for we realize that we become more balanced, more efficient, and effective human beings as we progress these circles. We become more whole and able to accomplish more worthwhile goals for the benefit of our world. A friend and I were talking this past week about what makes a person a whole and more balanced individual. Who is more mature? The one who leans more toward being intellectual, or the one who bases his decisions more from the emotions? The one who sees reality from his head, or the one who comes from the place of the heart? We talked of the American philosopher and psychologist of the late 19th and early 20th centuries, William James, and about some of his theories on human instincts and behaviors. William James was fascinated with what determined people's decisions. How many of you have heard of William James or read some of his material? Okay. But he was fascinated with what motivated humans to act the way they do. He was especially interested in how religious beliefs and experiences influenced people, and he wrote a book that is still widely read by theologians, psychologists, and philosophers. It's called The Varieties of Religious Experience. I'm currently rereading it myself, and in fact, just this morning I read something in there where he's talking about when people become alive in their faith, they have a genuine religious experience, whether it's a more intellectual or a more emotional thing, but it's real to them, and it changes them. It's a transforming thing. It changes their lives, and they begin to join others in that spiritual unity, but not uniformity. He said that movement, that spiritual movement, once it becomes accepted by the mainstream, becomes accepted as normal, and becomes part of the larger dominant culture, it gets ruined. It becomes institutionalized, doctrinized, compromised, and then it's dead. I thought that was interesting. I had to think about that, and I have to agree with him on it. Just looking at the history and the role that institutionalized religion, which has nothing to do with God the Father, though there's a lot of talk about God the Father and Jesus' teachings, the role that institutionalized religion has and continues to have in the suffering of this planet, preventing true progression of civilization. But in order to simplify a very complex subject, human identity and behavior, William James identified two types of people, the hard-minded and the soft-minded. The hard-minded draw conclusions and make decisions more from their logic and reason, more from their what I would call scientific minds, and tend to be more objective. That doesn't mean they're scientists, but we all have within us the scientific mind. The soft-minded's perceptions come more from their emotions and thus tend to be more subjective in their understanding of reality. When limited in their foundational understanding of facts and factors, the hard-minded tend to become more narrow in their thinking, confined in their own very imperfect logic. The soft-minded, though often more open to other possibilities and perspectives, are also limited due to sometimes not being able to narrow things down enough to make real logical decisions. One type of minded person can become too fundamentalistic in their supposedly logical conclusions, and the other type can be too relative in their perspectives, not being able to stabilize in their ideas and values. I realize that I've oversimplified William James's simplification of identifying people into hard and soft-minded in order to make a point. My point is that we shouldn't so quickly simplify our understanding of human nature and what drives human beings to make the decisions they make. Though people like William James have studied human behavior for centuries, we still are so limited in our understanding of the workings of the mind. If we limit ourselves to just depending upon us humans to understand the workings of the universe and of ourselves, we will remain primitive and childish in our perceptions of reality, even though we have created weapons of mass destruction and we have transportation that travels hundreds of miles very quickly, and we've got all this technology and we've got the internet. From another higher perspective, a spiritized perspective, we're pretty primitive. Epical revelation expands upon the highest and truest of human science, mathematics, philosophy, theology, ideology, history, sociology, and other ideas, bringing in a cosmic and spiritual perspective, giving facts and variables that humans have not yet discovered. Saying all that, I get back to the concept of psychic circles, also referred to as cosmic circles, which are introduced to us humans in Epical Revelation, the Urantia book and continuing fifth Epical Revelation of the Cosmic Family volumes and other transmissions. On page 1242 of the Urantia book, we are informed by a celestial being. You start out in your mind of mortal investment in the seventh circle and journey inward in the task of self-understanding, self-conquest, and self-mastery. And circle by circle, you advance until you reach the first or inner circle of relative contact and communion with the indwelling thought adjuster. In this one sentence are so many important points. Note that the mind is the key factor in psychic or cosmic circle attainment. I remind all of us that mind within our higher selves is connected to the divine mind circuit of the infinite spirit as given to us through the universe mother spirit. Note also that you journey inward. In other words, humans evolve or progress in their minds by going inward to think and contemplate and assess. Note that as in all of reality on material, mindal, and spirit levels within divine pattern, there is constant movement towards something more complete or higher. There is growth, maturation, progress. Note that in this mindal journey inward, we begin on the seventh psychic circle and progress to the first by being involved in the task of self-understanding, self-conquest, and self-mastery. What exactly does the term task imply? I used to think, oh, it's washing dishes, drying them, emptying the dishwasher. You know, when you're a little kid, you're given tasks and, you sort of think of that. So I go to good old Merriam-Webster's Collegiate Dictionary. I love language and how epical revelation uses certain terms, knowing. Those celestials know, they use that language too, and they know all the different connotations and denotations of one word. It's rich. It has layers in it. But task is defined as an assigned piece of work, often to be finished within a certain time. Something hard or unpleasant that has to be done. Duty or function. I guess the journey inward in attaining the psychic circles on this planet called Urantia and continuing on in the mansion worlds, if we do not attain them here, it's our destiny as ascending mortals, and it's part of an assignment, whether we realize it or not. And this task may not always be pleasant or easy on this world that has been part of the Lucifer Rebellion. Roget's International Thesaurus gives us words like commission, consignment, mandate, charge, and trust as synonyms of task. Back to dictionary definitions of task. When being called to task, you are subject to adverse criticism and being reprimanded. So tasking in our ascension sometimes isn't that pleasant. Other times it can be so awesome and uplifting. But even in the unpleasantness, the results are healing and beautiful and whole. Now, since childhood, I have personally felt an inner drive to reach for higher understanding, a better way of thinking, feeling, and doing, and I've blown it so many times. I've experienced being driven, actually being driven within. I just feel like it's pushing me in to understand the workings of the universe, of the world, of human beings, and of myself by constantly reaching for God. I think that every single human being has this drive within them, this sense of a task to be done, but often they don't know how to recognize or define it. So they respond to this drive in ways that fit their foundational understanding of reality, which means on this planet of cultures and societies steeped in the Lucifer Manifesto, that most people go outward rather than inward to fill the emptiness they feel, being driven to appease that inner call to task from superficial and materialistic perspectives, always looking for pleasure and other fixes to distract them from the inner call to come to task, to traverse the psychic circles. Note also in this one sentence that the task we have been given of progressing the cosmic circles requires self-understanding, self-conquest, and self-mastery. That task of looking inward to ourselves can be very challenging, especially if we have been programmed by the dominant culture not to go there. And due to human nature and the Lucifer Manifesto being so much a part of the dominant culture, we have to deal with our lower selves in order to open up to the leading of the Spirit of God within us to unfold in our real selves, our higher selves. That Spirit of God is the thought adjuster. Where do thoughts come from? The mind. He's working with us if we'll cooperate. Or she, they, it, however, whatever pronoun you want to use, it works. So, taking on the task of self-understanding, self-conquest, and self-mastery is a progress of steps. First, we must understand from a more cosmic and spiritized perspective the nature of humans, the impact of the Lucifer Rebellion on this world and on us as individuals, that we have an eternal struggle, a sense of duality between a lower self and a higher self. In other words, we have to understand our lower selves steeped in selfishness and pride and other beastly and luciferic tendencies in order to begin to understand our higher selves within our God-given personality circuitry. I realize that what I'm saying is a mouthful and a mindful, but it is part of the task we each are being called to do. We must understand ourselves, lower and higher, in order to conquest and master our lower selves so that our higher selves can become our real identity. In other words, we have to traverse the psychic circles, moving out of our lower selves into our higher selves. One more key component in attaining the psychic circles that was brought out in this statement from the Urantia book that I've been discussing, which I'd mentioned before, is the thought adjuster or Spirit of God that's within us. And as we become more in attunement with that spirit and respond in cooperation, we become more stabilized on the third circle, ever moving forward towards higher circle attainment. There is a section in the Urantia book comprised of 3.5 pages that addresses the psychic circles. What I find to be significant is that this section on the cosmic circles is found in the paper entitled Relation of Thought Adjusters to individuals. Reflecting upon that in itself can bring us a lot of enlightenment. Now, I started out with decisions, back to those decisions. Remember that when I started out, I asked you to think of a decision from your higher self and the consequences, and then one from your lower self and the consequences. Well, in that section on psychic circles, it is stated, every decision you make either impedes or facilitates the function of a thought adjuster. Likewise, do these very decisions determine your advancement in the circles of human achievement? It is true that the supremacy of a decision, its crisis relationship, has a great deal to do with its circle-making influence. Nevertheless, numbers of decisions, frequent repetitions, persistent repetitions are also essential to the habit-forming certainty of such reactions. What habits of thinking and acting come from your lower self? Which ones come from your higher self? What decision patterns do you need to outgrow? Which ones do you need to develop? I can't get into any further detail on this powerful statement, except to say that every time we make a decision from our lower selves, we drop back into a lower psychic circle. The more decisions we make from our higher selves, the more stable we become on the third psychic circle. Every time we go back into our lower selves, our lower minds, we drop back in circle attainment, sometimes just temporarily. So in our transition time of growing up, which we're all in, we tend to fluctuate back and forth between circles. When we have attained self-understanding, self-conquest, and self-mastery, we are more in attunement with the Spirit of God within us and more stabilized in our higher selves, and thus more stabilized on those higher circles. Until we get our lower selves under control, we cannot really contribute in the highest way to helping solve the world's problems because we're still part of that problem. Often we are merely talkers and not yet practitioners. There's so much more about psychic circles, but I leave that for another time. I would like to leave you with something from that section in the Urantia book that should be the ideal we each should be reaching for if we want to be effective change agents on this broken and confused world. It is to the mind of perfect poise, housed in a body of clean habits, stabilized neural energies, neural coming in the brain, and balanced chemical function, when the physical, mental, and spiritual powers are in triune harmony of development, that a maximum of light and truth can be imparted with a minimum of temporal danger or risk to the real welfare of such a being. By such balanced growth, does a man or woman ascend the circles of planetary progression one by one from the seventh to the first. In other words, we must begin the journey inward before we really can reach outward in an effective, as effective change agents that we are all called to become. Thank you.
Vanetics with Gabriel of Urantia and Neon Emerson Chase. an ongoing series of lectures and teachings on spiritual leadership, personal change, and the principles of divine administration. Part of the curriculum of the University of Ascension Science and the Physics of Rebellion. More information can be found at uaspr.org.